thank you, because even in this season, by the Lord Jesus, yes, the last Adam, thank you, Lord Jesus, because you have breathed upon us. Thank you for the fresh breath of life, for you have come that might have life and have it more abundantly, that we ourselves might be conduit pipes of life, O Lord God, to creation, O Lord God, that is under the bondage of corruption, that they might be set free from this bondage of corruption. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for eternal life that is now made manifest in a greater degree in our hearts, in our wills, in our minds, in our emotions, in our intellect, in our physical bodies, in our circumstances, in our health, in our finances, regional heavenlies, being made manifest in a greater degree in different areas, different forms, bringing healing, bringing health, bringing life, O Lord God, bringing wholeness, Lord God, bringing deliverance, making us above all, making us new creations, your workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus unto good works, to be made whole, to show forth your glory, to reflect your glory, to show forth your kindness, to show forth your love and your mercies, your graciousness, Lord, above all, to make us more like you, conform to your image, that you may be the firstborn among many brethren. Yes, brothers of life, sisters of life, yes, showing forth your life, vessels of life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are the breath of God, and you are present in us, you are present with us. You are the living Spirit, the quickening Spirit, the Spirit that gives life, the Spirit that is breathing in us. You said that you will be our God, we will be your people. Yes, indeed, Lord, you said you will walk in us, you will talk with us, you will talk through us, you will breathe in us. For in you we live, move, and have our being. Yes, and you are in us, living, moving, and having your being. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, for that which you're going to do even in our midst, even in this time of interaction of your word. We worship you, great and mighty things that you're going to do. Father, we worship you. Lord, just we honor you. Lord, Holy Spirit, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Just breathe.
Just breathe your name upon.
Let's take our seats in the presence of the Lord as we settle down.
Oh, just
breathe
your name
upon us. Breathe.
Your name.
Praise the Lord. Edified. And today is the last Friday of the month. Let's give a clap of praise unto the Lord again. Time is going, but God is merciful. You know, time waits for no man, they say. But we thank God that indeed God, the creator and the maker of time, he dwells in us and he's always watching over his word to perform it, causing all things to work together for our good in Jesus' name. Today is the last Friday of the month, and we've decided, and of course, as the Spirit has quickened upon us, to make it a time of interaction. This month we had, of course, it was a time of prayer and worship that we all laid before God, things that we prayed about. We talked briefly about prayer and intercession, and we also want to redeem the time, maximize the time as well. And so I'm going to need your cooperation, and I need you to start ruminating in your heart, and as I'm talking, just be thinking, you know, deep upon what I'm saying, because it is you that is teaching today. And it's a time of interaction, and the time of interaction, the Bible says, iron sharpens what? Iron. And so that place of interaction, we build ourselves up with fellowship. It's not a time to be shy. It's not a time to withdraw what God is laying upon your heart, be it questions or contributions, the shortest possible time. Most importantly, this month we talked about wisdom and knowledge, the stability of our times. Am I right? Yeah, we talked about that on the second Friday. And the third Friday, we talked about practical steps to watching and praying always, recognizing that there were things there that would help us to be established in wisdom and knowledge, you know, because it is the stability of our times because of that's what the Bible says. And of course, you must also recognize, you know, that wisdom, that as wisdom and knowledge is the stability of our times, you know, the strength of our salvation. And I think I also really emphasize the importance of not comparing ourselves with others, especially with the world system. And many of these things that I say by the Spirit, you know, Pastor confirms them, you know, when he teaches, be it on Sunday and on Wednesday. So it's very encouraging for me. And I also believe that as many people as are listening, they're also quickened in their hearts when he says it. And then we also talked about, before I leave that watching and praying, you must recognize that the Lord, just when he was talking about escaping the tribulation and the time of the Antichrist, escaping and being a part of what we will call the first flight, the rapture, which everybody thinks is for everybody, that because they're just born again. You know, because there are Christians that are sleeping, There are Christians at our canal. There are Christians at our... there's a word I'm looking for. That are flangering. No, that's not what I want to say. But that are just living in sin. And they believe that, you know, grace abounds. You know, I can sin and just mess around. God will forgive me. You know, those kind of people will be shocked and surprised when rapture comes. You know, because that's not who God is coming for. God is coming for a glorious church. He's coming for people that are watching and praying. Yes, that's what I wanted to say. The Bible says that when you watch and pray, you will escape. Watch and pray always that you may escape these things, you know, and be a part of the people that the Lord is going to come for. He's coming for a perfect church, but he's coming for people that are watching and praying, because those are people that are using his blood and his word and praying the Spirit continuously every time, you know, throughout the day. You know, they are ready. He says, blessed is the man, you know, that he's watching and praying, waiting for his, you know, boss, so to speak. Waiting for his, there's a word it uses. Waiting for his master, you know. And so those are the people that God. So that's why these things, we are learning it in 2023. You know, because in a few years, as the timetable begins to unravel, and by his mercy and grace, we are all fulfilling our place and our calling and our destiny, and as time moves on, the time will come. In that timetable, where it's going to be, we have the manifestation of the Son of God, we have the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom worldwide to all tribes, kindred, tongues, you know, and we're all going to go by his mercy and grace. And then God is going to come for that glorious church and that harvest of nations, harvest of tribes, and we've made disciples in every nation. But recognize that the key thing that is going to cause Christians to escape the tribulation is watching and praying always, and that's how we are learning it right now. You know, and then we talked about Prof helping us last week. We talked about secret to living a Christian, a victorious Christian life. You know, and of course he mentioned the tax collector and the what? Pharisee, yes. The tax collector and the Pharisee. So we talk about those three topics in the course of the month. And I know that you've probably tried your hands on them. You know, you know, kingdom of God is not rice and beans. It's not just hearing, it's rice and beans. Don't let them lie to you. It's not rice and beans. Kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's practicalizing these things. You know, as you hear them, do you try them? Do you attempt them? It's when you attempt them. It's when you think on them. It's when your Bible says, runukiwada. When you think deep on them. When you attempt them, and then you have mistakes, you have issues, challenges. You know, I want to hear those challenges. I want to hear what you learned. Oh, yeah, it brought fruits in this area. I want to hear your contribution. Oh, I thought of it and God spoke to me this way about it. And, you know, I want to get feedback. You know, I want to get questions. We want to bless one another. I want to edify one another. You had issue, but the word that you heard, you practicalized it, and this is what you did, and then you got this fruit and results. Yes, these are things that will also strengthen the brethren and strengthen our brethren. So we have 30 minutes to do that, 20-25 minutes, which was maximized. You know, I can imagine 10 people speaking for 2 minutes, you know, and us interacting. That's enough, you know, to bless us. And people online, you can also share through WhatsApp questions and contributions. Concerning these three topics, watching and praying, the practical steps. I want us to speak around the boundary also. I don't want to speak out of the things that we've taught. If you want to speak out of what we taught, see me at the end of the service. But what we've done this month, you know, practical living, or practical Christian, victorious Christian living, I want us to talk about it. You know, what you learned, the challenges, the questions that you have, the contributions that you have. You know, so you're going to be the master, I'm going to be the student. All right, and by his mercy and grace, we are going to bless one another. So no holding back, no wasting of time, you know. Be awake, alert, and active, like people that have the breath of God. Are we together? Are we together? By the breath of his mouth, he's going to slay the wicked. You know, so I want you, by the breath of your mouth, slay the wicked of wickedness, or fear, or worry, or shyness, or anxiety, you know, and bring some life, you know, as you interact. God bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Okay, so number one. I'm waiting, quick, fast. You're already writing down your questions, or you have thoughts and contributions. It's a time of interaction, you know, so there's no question of we don't interact. This is the time of interaction around what you've heard, you know, what you've practiced, what you've tried, the questions that you have, you know, and contributions that I want to use to bless one another. Proactiveness. Young people are proactive, and that's what we are known for. You know, the young people, strength, they are known for strength. Proactivity. Energy, activity, moving, you know. And so ours is contained, you know, around the word and what you've heard. Did you think about what you did? Did you understand? Did you have questions? Do you have contributions? Did something bless your, was quickened in your heart in the course of the month? You know, and then we can build on that and can bless one another. Some people are just looking at their notes. Oh my goodness. The kingdom of God is not rice and beans. My boy wants to complete the song. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Sarah. God bless. Let's give a clap of hands to the Lord for Sarah.
Okay, so it's a contribution.
Excellent.
We're talking about wisdom and stability being the... wisdom and knowledge being the stability of our times. And I think oftentimes people think that wisdom is for, like, pastors. I don't know why, but I think people think that it's only people, like, pastors, apostles that have wisdom. But the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask, and he will not rebuke you for it. So if you lack wisdom, ask for it. It's not something, it's not so far-fetched. If you ask it, God will give you. The Bible is saying that how much if our earthly father, if you ask him for bread, he won't give you stone. So how much more our heavenly father, if you ask him for wisdom, he will give it to you and even much more.
Thank you, Sarah. God bless you. Thank you so much. So she's emphasizing destroying that mindset that wisdom is for specific class of people or particular people, you know, that we've always thought. Thank God for pastors. The Bible calls them wise master builders. Paul talked about that. But we also see someone like Solomon. We see someone like Daniel. The base things of the world, the Bible says God uses to shame the wise. And he said, you know, it's just whether you really believe the word. If any man, he didn't say if pastors lack wisdom. He didn't say if rich people lack wisdom. He didn't say if old people lack wisdom. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him what? Ask. You know, and in the course of it, we're talking about ask being ask, seek, knock. You know, you never stop. You know, so Daniel asked for wisdom. You know, so I don't know whether you ever get to that moment in your life where you are desperate, you know, to ask for wisdom and you never stop asking. Some people get tired of asking. Never get tired. Stir up desperation in your heart for wisdom that, you know, I need this thing, Lord. You know, give me wisdom. And even if you don't get to the first day, keep asking. You know, keep seeking, keep knocking. Never stop, never give up. You know, because he has said, if you ask, you will receive. Thank you, Sarah.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'll be talking regarding on what Prof said last week. Mercy for a victorious Christian life. It's just a contribution, actually. So Prof made us understand that it's not of him that runneth, but we have to run. It's not of him that willeth, but we have to will, but of God that showeth mercy. So it's just a kind of honesty and humility of heart. We need to be honest with ourselves. Wherever we see that we are lacking, wherever we see that we are not really doing well, we just have to be honest to God. God sees our hearts. He knows how we are hunger for Him. We are kind of testing for Him. So we have to be honest about it. We tell God, okay, I've been trying. God, please grant my effort. That kind of thing. So Prof is just letting us understand that he was actually teaching us that it's not okay. He said one phrase. He said some prayed prayers, but some prayed to God. That some people that they will just do it for the sake of okay, let's just do it. And some would do it with all of their heart. Like, so we have to be honest about our service to God. So may God help us.
Okay, I want to add something. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, I have two things to add. Okay, let me start from Proverbs chapter 2. That's as regards wisdom and knowledge, stability of our time. I'll just read it. Okay, Proverbs chapter 2. I'll read 1 to 4. It said, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Okay, so I think this is where our daily Bible reading is, this particular Proverbs. But I think it sprung up something about this quest for wisdom, because according to ask, ask, seek, and knock. It means that you must desire it. You don't get wisdom. It does not fall on your head, or you have to actually seek after it. I believe the wisdom of God. Scripture says something about in Proverbs. It is the honor of a king. I can't remember, but it is the glory of God.
Kings to such a time.
Okay, so and now we are kings and priests in Christ Jesus. So for us to get God's wisdom, we must search. You know, there's a need for Bible reading, thorough Bible reading. You don't just read it casually. There's a need for balanced Bible reading thoroughly. And by that time, and also prayers, then God start dropping revelations in our mind. And I think that's the first thing I want to share. Okay, and also, I regard the mercy. One thing that I think I've been doing and God will keep helping me is about being honest about everything. And also, do not rely on your strength, because, okay, you know you can do this thing, but still ask for mercy. You know you are capable. Okay, more like, okay, this particular question, I can answer it. Still ask God for mercy so that you can do it perfectly. So also, I think that will also help us in our various activities to keep on asking for mercy for everything. You want to go out, ask for mercy. You want to, everything, just keep asking for mercy, that God should have mercy. God should have mercy. I think that is an attitude of honesty and humility, whereby you inquire of the Lord for everything. And the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I need more hands. I need more contributions. I still need, you have started filling me a bit, but I am still not full. I still need more. And as you're talking, I also want you to talk about, give me those examples, you know, of where Peradventure you implemented these things, you know, and those results came straight with the contributions. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Okay, so based on what Prof taught us last week about the Pharisee and the tax collector while they were praying, he emphasized how, like, the tax collector was very, how it started with humility, and it started as an internal thing. And so it just got me thinking that at the end of the living a victorious Christian life, it starts on the inside. So it's more of an internal thing than an external thing. But at the end of the day, when we get to a point where we're now practicing the things that we're supposed to be practicing, like honesty and humility of heart, praying without ceasing, reading our Bibles and all of that, and we're growing, it then becomes an external thing, in the sense that our living a victorious life is not just for us, it's for the people around us as well. Because when we look at the tax collector's prayer, it encourages us and it shows us that by being honest, we can attract the mercy of God. So that at the end of the day, that prayer wasn't just for him. It was also for people around him, and then for us that we came after him. So likewise, for us as Christians, when we're living our lives and following after God and being honest and praying and reading our Bibles, at first we're working on ourselves, but at the end of the day, after we've worked on ourselves and while we're working on ourselves, we get to a point where our lives are encouraging people around us to also work on themselves. So, yeah, that's what I have to say.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm still hungry for more. Please go on. I'm writing, taking down notes. These are amazing things that you guys are saying. Oh, yeah, I'm waiting.
Praise the Lord. I wasn't sure if, because you said not outside the teachings we've had this month, but it's something I've experienced trying to practice. So coming into ZCF and SPCC, one thing that you learn first is honesty and humility of heart. But in practicing, one problem I really faced was when you start practicing being honest with yourself, you start to realize that God, as far as you're honest, he actually tells you how to grow. Then it gets to a point where sometimes, it happened to me with self-denial, when we talked about self-denial. So there was something he kept saying, this was like the next step. And within myself, I wanted to obey God, but that particular thing. There are sometimes we say, God, help me, give me grace for this. And deep down within yourself, you know that even if they moved you up, you would sit down back. You are not ready to let go of this particular thing. So for me, that was one challenge I had. It really stunted me. So at the time, I said, finding it hard to pray, because I felt like if I pray, I know what I will hear. And I know what he's going to tell me next. And I've not still gotten over it, but I believe God's mercy is available. So for me, that was a challenge. This is not a contribution. It's just a challenge that I really face from now and then. So I know what I'm supposed to do, but deep down I know I'm praying for grace and I do not want to do it. So that is my dilemma when I'm practicing.
Go on. Let's go on. I've held that in hand. You know, I believe I'll have an answer, but I don't want to stop the momentum. I'm going to give you an answer to that, you know, because it's something we all face, you know, where we still have those sediments of dishonesty in our hearts, you know. But truly, the answer is still that you cannot. Truth is, maybe I should just say, you know, we can't really progress. God is going to bring us back to that thing until we renounce it, you know, until we are honest about it. Because God, everything is open before God, you know. There's nothing that he will keep. There's no skeleton in the cupboard, you know. Of course, he might not start exposing it to other people, but between you and him, you know, he will still bring you back to that, and so that you can deal with it. You know, I think it was Mommy Sarah that was saying that some of the greatest things for us to drop are our infirmities, you know, our weaknesses, our dishonesties, and things that God shows us. You know, and so it's still there. I think what we should say is that there are grades of honesty. You know, there are grades, there's growth in honesty. Isn't it a one-time thing or one-time humility exam or one-time honesty exam? You will continue to take the honesty and humility exam all the days of your life. Why? Because that's the core and foundation to be able to build a strong story, you know, or story building or strong tower in your Christian life. Do you understand? So it's not a one-time, I was honest yesterday, I don't need to be honest tomorrow. I've already passed the honesty exam. The honesty lifestyle is continuous. Do you understand? So once you think that I've arrived, you see that another honesty exam will come. And we must just make up our mind, you know, to continue to be, you know, exercise ourselves, which is one core thing I was going to say today about exercise. You know, God in his mercy, God is not going to condemn you. But no surety that you're going to come back to that thing. You know, so the earlier you give up to him, you surrender to him, the better for you. Do you understand? Because for someone like Pharaoh, he knew. Do you understand? But God kept giving him a chance. But with that, you also notice that for Pharaoh, his heart kept getting harder. Do you understand? There was continuous opportunity and opportunity for him to renounce and repent. But the more he did not obey his conscience, the Bible talks about the conscience being seared. I believe that's what it is. Did I get that word? You know, so we have to be very careful. It's a delicate thing. You know, it's not God that is being hurt in this situation. It's really us. You know, so we must just renounce it. But what really the question is, what really is going to help me, you know? And for me in that area, what I've seen that has helped me, peradventure I can't do it myself, is exposing myself to the Word of God, not necessarily by my own personal Bible reading, sometimes coming to church, you know. So when I expose myself in the midst of other believers, or in the light of a word preached by someone more mature, and then there's that anointing and that presence, or it might be in the time of worship or in time of word, I notice that I get a push and a booster to be able to do what I could not do by myself. You understand? And then you must recognize that you must just keep exercising in the little things. That's how you get strong. You must keep, it's like keeping fit, you know, and getting spiritually toned in that area. So there are different areas that we all know that we need strength in, and you must just keep exercising yourself. And if you can't do it by yourself, is when you come in the midst of other believers. For me, when I come in the midst of other believers, I listen to anointed messages, you know, that will quicken, that will the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit convicting you, you know, that will help you. But if you try and do it by yourself, you will see that you are trying to cheat. You will think that you can cheat God, but you can't really cheat God. You understand? So let's go on.
Amen. Yes. Sir, this is David. I'm upstairs.
I recognize.
Okay. So, Elder Olopade shared some scriptures on MixLR. I'll share the first one.
Yeah, you have to speak out so we can hear.
Elder Olopade shared some scriptures on MixLR. So I'll share the first one on the screen now.
Okay, so Prof has shared some things. You know, Prof is listening to all your revelations now. Okay, so he says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is what? Wisdom. You know, so like Sarah was talking about asking God for wisdom, you know, so Prof's emphasis now is, apart from prayer, but that attitude thing, we must carry it along in every circumstance and situation, even in the place of prayer. You know, that's why he was talking about his mercy, like the tax collector. Lowliness, humility, you know, is what will let you get wisdom from God. Do you understand? Because you can be asking God for wisdom. The Bible says that the scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. So you can have a category of people that are always seeking wisdom and they just don't find it. And then they get discouraged and they say, this thing just doesn't work, Jerry. You understand? Whereas, what really is the key to make your prayers be heard and be answered is this attitude of meekness, lowliness, humility. Recognize that I don't know it by myself. Lord, I need you. I am not trying to mask it or try to lie to God. I know they said I should ask God for wisdom more. So I'm just asking you. No, you are recognizing that it's only from him you can get the wisdom. Your own wisdom is polluted by yourself. And you just have that attitude that it is from him and by him you can get that wisdom. It's only his wisdom that can cause you to succeed. So that's the emphasis. And then the second one is what? Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both what? Save yourself and them that hear thee. So this comes again with what he preached us about, you know, successful Christian living, you know, victorious Christian living. And like I said, you know, I said that you have to meditate upon these things. Because you've heard it doesn't mean that it has stayed in your heart. So you have to go back and think upon these things and see how it applies to yourself and the practical things that you must work out. How you must work it out. Street smart. Get dirty with it. You know, and then you'll know that, okay, this is how it works for my own. This is how it's working. This same word. But this is how I can apply it. And this is how it makes sense to me. It says, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. So that your profiting may appear unto like what Ephrata was saying. It starts from within, but ultimately it must come out for people to see. But it starts with meditating, thinking upon it. The tax collector spoke to himself. Says, you know, I'm a sinner. I have messed up. You know, have mercy on me. Meditate upon these things. Think deep upon them. Where you are weak, think about it. Think about where the word of God can strengthen, how the word of God can strengthen in that area. Give yourself wholly to them, that your prophet may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself. That's honesty. And unto the doctrine. That's honesty again and humility. You're practical, down to earth about the word you're hearing. Where you're lying, you know. Where the word of God is truth in that area, you know. Where you need to change, you know. What you need to apply, you know. What you know you're not doing, you know. Where you know you need to improve, you know. Take heed to the doctrine, you know. Continue in them. That's what I talk about, exercise. You need to practicalize these things, get rough and dirty with it. For in doing this, it's only in doing it and practicalizing and exercising yourself in it, you'll be able to save yourself, not by hearing it alone, and even them that hear this. So you can see what Ephrata was saying about what you do within and how you're starting within. You're not just saving yourself, but even those around you. Do you understand? So we're talking about practical Christian living. And so where I'm looking at you, I want to emulate you. I want to know what your secret is, the secret of your success. How be it small, you know, but I still want to imitate you there. We have 7 minutes. I'm waiting for you.
Also, there's a question from Timilei. It says, how do we avoid becoming like Solomon if we had that much wisdom and knowledge about God?
Excellent.
Second question. Okay.
Yeah, go on.
Second question. What are the signs we should look out for or the red flags that could lead us to Solomon, that could lead us to Solomon's downfall path?
Okay, good. So for that one, Pastor has made it easy for me. I'm also, somebody is talking. So you teachers of the law, I'm expecting word from you as well. But there's, in the Pauline prayers in the app, there's a prayer there that has been put and is the answer to that question. And I'll just read it out. Prayer to cause your heart to be able to receive and act on the wisdom of God you get through the Pauline prayers. God, give me a heart that can act on the wisdom of God so I won't wind up like Solomon or like David. God, give me a heart that can act. So it's not just the heart, but it's most importantly a heart that can act on the wisdom of God. Because you can have the wisdom of God, but if you don't practicalize it, see, it boils down to practicability and practicing this thing. The Bible says it's not the hearers of the word that are blessed, but the words, doers. You know, Solomon wrote Proverbs, Songs of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes. He wrote Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, and he broke it. So, how can I have the wisdom of God and still break it? Because I'm not doing or practicing that wisdom of God by the instruction he has given me. Do you understand? It's not the knowing of it that is sufficient. Thank God for the knowing. But it's the acting, the practicing. As I've been saying, get your hands dirty on it. You know, yeah, you make mistakes. A righteous man falls 7 times. But it's not the kind of mistake that will end you in doom and in gloom, like that of Solomon. And so he says, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the wisdom that is contained in the word, and in particular in the book of Proverbs. I thank you for using Solomon as a channel to give that wisdom to be written in the Bible and made available today to us in our generation. I will not despise this wisdom. Have mercy on me. You know, and then it goes on, I humble myself, I receive mercy, you know. So we recognize that Solomon's error and challenge was that the very wisdom that he had, he did not use it to develop character. He did not use it. There was not much fruit. The very wisdom, he broke them. The very instruction, he broke them. So you are talking about the red flags. God made it very easy for them in Deuteronomy 17 as kings. And this applies to you and me as well. And the practicability is also seen in our, pastors and our fathers in the house. God told the kings that when they get on the throne, or whoever is king, he must write the law daily. He must read the law. He must write the law. So his heart will not be lifted up, and he will not feel that he doesn't need to do it. And then he must not store up too much gold. He must not store up too much, I'm just summarizing, gifts. He must not store up too much girls. It's a 3G network. You know, so it was lack of self-control that was a major problem of Solomon, which is a fruit of the Spirit in the New Testament. So a lack of character, a lack of development of character or fruit of the Spirit will affect whatever knowledge or innovation or creativity God has given, or gifting God has given you. So as you are having the gifting, you must balance it and have a foundation of character and fruit of the Spirit every day. That's why you must keep praying for the fruit of the Spirit every day and keep reading your Bible every day. The moment you draw back and withdraw from the word, that wisdom will get polluted, even though it's from God. Ask Satan, ask Lucifer. The Bible says his heart was lifted up. Do you understand? But there is something that you can continue in, because the fear is, oh, what if I ask a wizard and I end up like Solomon? No. What did Solomon not do? A sin of omission always leads to a sin of commission. And so we can say in New Testament, Solomon stopped reading his Bible and focused on the things that his eyes wanted. He wanted this, he wanted that, he wanted God's gold, he wanted God's girls, he wanted God's gifts, horses, he had all those things, you know. But that which will never make your heart depart is when you stick and continue in the word. The Lord Jesus continued in the word, as was his habit. Do you understand? So one thing you will be sure that will guarantee your own not strain, even when you are given creativity, innovation, ingenuity, wisdom beyond your peers, is that you must stick to the word. You must continue to read this book of the law, like it says. And that's what Paul was talking about in 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Don't stop. Don't say, I need to relax or chill. You know, I'm successful now, I'm productive, I'm well known now. You know, maybe I don't need the word again, maybe I've reached my crescendo. No, you continue the word. Do you understand? It will guarantee that you don't sleep, you know, or falter, or the wisdom gets corrupted. Are we together? So irrespective of what people think or say about you, you know what got you there. And you know that it is what got you there that will cause you to remain there and go higher in it. Do you understand? Without you losing it or it getting corrupted. So never say, I'll stop praying. Never say, I'll stop reading the word or practicing the word or coming to church or coming to fellowship or practicing or reading or following after other men. You know, it's not as if I've arrived and I don't need them again. That wisdom gets corrupt. That's the way the person begins to go down. And the down will not be in one day. It's just that by the time he gets to that gloom part, he will know that he has really strayed, like Solomon. The Bible says that when he was old, the very woman that he had brought in, they turned his heart. Satan just waits. And he sets him up to his destruction. Are we together? And so, Deuteronomy 17 and what Prof has said in 1 Timothy 4, take heed unto thyself. Continue in it. In humility, in the word, don't listen to the devil and say, stop. It's time to jump for the world to know you. It's time to turn bread, stone to bread. Do you understand? It's time to bow. No, you must continue in the word. Are we together? Yeah, so I'll give us just two more.
Please, just a minute, sir. Elder Lopadi sent something on WhatsApp to respond to the second question, the red flags and the way out.
Okay, excellent.
One had the thorny heart. The word was sown, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things took the place of God. And then all the wisdom that he had was choked up. And we all notice that red flag, and we just need to be honest with it. When the deceitfulness of riches, weigh that, and you are ready to put God in the background, the lust of the flesh, pride of life starts to take. So you call yourself to order, and immediately humble yourself, go lowly, ask God for mercy, so that it will not overwhelm you. So that's excess. That's keep doing the right thing. Exercise, continue. And when you now see that you are dropping, money is getting lost on the flesh, is getting the go. Let's go in meekness and lowliness and repent before God and receive mercy to be strong again to follow the path of truth.
Thanks, Prof. Thank you so much. Let's give a clap offering unto the Lord. Just confirm what we said again from the New Testament. So you can see, you know, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. The same three things, like Prof. God was telling them in the Old Testament as well. Horses, gold, and women. Did you understand? I mean, it falls back on the other side for, you know, the opposite sex in that regard. So, self-control is that thing you must need to hold to. Hold, you know, and be able to hold the gifts and the graces that God has given you. So it does not turn you, the very grace and gift he has given you doesn't turn you away from him. Okay, two more. I'm waiting for two more. Thank you.
Praise God. Mine is kind of a personal experience as regards the issue of mercy for a victorious life. So last week, Friday, after Prof preached and everything, it struck me. And then incidentally, one of my sisters was sharing something about that. And I was like, okay, God is trying to get across to me because I was falling short in my spiritual life. And so it just dawned on me that, fine, you want to serve, I want to pray, I want to study the word, I want to be up and doing and everything. But, like, it's very important for us to recognize the place of God's mercy. We can't say, okay, I want mercy and I'll not do anything. Maybe God will have mercy on me. No. And at the same time, we can't say, okay, I'm determined, I can. And we don't rely on the mercy of God. So it's really helped me. I'm not there yet, but I'm a lot better. Recognizing that there's a scripture that the Holy Spirit dropped in my mind during the week that it talks about the fear God and hope in his mercies. So when you fear God, the Bible says fear God and keep his commandments. So a product of fearing God is that you want to do his will. So you do his will, but at the same time, you are hoping in his mercy. So his mercy is an amplifying factor for us. So I just want to encourage us, whatever. Sometimes we are strong, sometimes we are weak. Like someone said and really struck me, in your weak times, in your strong times, we should rely on the mercy of God. Because mercy is the amplifying factor. If I do 10, and I say, Mutishi 10, or I do 100, Mutishi 100, 100 you're not, well, okay. And we leave out, let's say, mercy is an amplifying factor of times 1,000, and say, Mutishi 100, we need, we are just left with 100. But if, I'm not saying we should do 10, but if we do 10%, and there's an amplification factor of 1,000, we have 10,000, as opposed to doing 100. So in our weak times, and if we do 100, and we have 1,000 amplification factor, that's 10,000. So I just want to encourage us in our weak times, in our strong times, let's always remember that mercy is the amplification factor. Amen.
One last one. We don't want to stop.
Amen.
Thank you.
So I had this when I was in school. Your pastor said, imagine you're expecting a phone call from someone and then you turn off your phone. Said, no matter how much the person tries to call you, you will never receive the phone call. And he was trying to illustrate how that sometimes we are expecting God to speak to us, or we need his wisdom or knowledge, and then we don't study the word. If God is going to speak to you, like Pastor has been teaching us, Pastor Olubi Johnson, he speaks to us primarily through his word. And so I'm just encouraging us, because based on the message Pastor Lao Loop with wisdom and knowledge, the stability of our times. If you read Matthew 7, towards the end, Jesus Christ said, whoever does hears this word and does them is likened to a wise man who built on the rock. And the storm came, the wind blew, the wind fell, and it was still remaining standing. And that Matthew 7, it started from Matthew 5. That's the Sermon on the Mount. And that was like the first preaching. Or should I say his first message, and you know, it wasn't just an Old Testament prophet, it was the bridge between the old and the new. So he was introducing them to something new. And if we could, I would suggest that we read Matthew 5, 6, 7, not just in KJV, maybe NLT or TPT or Message, and just sit down and listen to it. There's a lot of wisdom we'll get for our everyday lives that if we hold on to. And someone asked, we will never make the mistake Solomon made. Our character will be built up in the secret place so that when God takes us out there, we will be able to withstand whatever the devil throws against us. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know we can continue, but we'll have to pause here. And so, I think one major thing that has stuck in my heart is be a mercy addict. You know, and from what I said, don't be afraid that mercy is for the weak. Yeah, even if they say you're weak, who cares? You know, because indeed in yourself you're weak anyway. Do you understand? The strongest of men cannot even meet up to the wisdom of God. You know, so be a mercy addict at all times. You know, weak times, strong times. And like I said, I just want to use this to encourage you, because this has happened to me, you know, as we begin to close. If you haven't, that's why you should never compare yourself. You see, this thing keeps coming to myself. I was sharing with my wife a major thing that is wrong in my heart, you know, as I've preached and taught, privileged to teach and preach and teach in the course of this month, is comparison. Be very careful how you compare yourself with others. Yoruba will say something, you probably know it. Mafia agwala goshishe. Never do it. You see, you can learn from other people, and you can copy good parts from people, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I use my time clock and my own wristwatch for your own life. Do you understand? We didn't start at the same time. Do you understand? We probably didn't hear the same thing. You know, but one thing is guaranteed, and this is what I want to use to encourage you. What mercy can do, because I also can amplification, you are not God. Do you understand what I'm saying? The moment you acknowledge mercy, and that you need mercy, and you're honest, and you understand that you need mercy all the time, God himself will be the one to position you to cause that amplification to work beyond what your thoughts could ever imagine. Do you understand? If somebody is there, maybe he's where that pillar is. It's 10 minutes, 10 moments away from, 10 steps away from you, which was how the Pharisee and the tax collector was. But you see, the tax collector asked for the right thing from the right person at the right place, which caused him to be catapulted to the fullness of his destiny and to leave that place more blessed. Do you understand? So what mercy will do, the amplification, sometimes I'm weak, but when I come to church and I'm in the midst of people, the revelation or the light or the wisdom that I would have gotten even if I was on my own. I might not get it. Do you understand? Just because I'm honest with the fact that I need to be here. You see, mercy is made manifest practically in that because I'm in the midst of the multitude of saints or the brethren, or I'm in a prayer meeting that maybe normally I won't have one to come to. I thought maybe I should do something smart in myself or intelligent in myself. When I'm in the midst of the saints, even in my weakness and in my low estate, I get an upgrade. Do you understand? I get an upgrade spiritually, and I get an upgrade in revelation. I get an upgrade intellectually. Light comes. Do you understand? So what the point I'm trying to make is, you can't predict God. What you can predict and what you can be assured of is that when you acknowledge mercy and when you acknowledge God and you're at the right place asking God for mercy, what is guaranteed is an amplification. What is guaranteed is what the tax collector experienced, which was that he left that place more blessed than he came in, unlike the Pharisee who left that place the same way he was. Do you understand? So, the guarantee and the surety of his mercy is what you need to appreciate and believe in. And then you need to do what you would normally or feel like not doing. Because when you do that thing, you will experience that amplification, being at the right place, at the right time, with the right people, and then it will catapult you to where you would be beyond what you could ever ask or think. Are we together? That's what we're going to end with. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Wisdom for stability, knowledge for stability, with a foundation of character, so that as I ask God for wisdom, I'll not be afraid that wisdom will be like that of Solomon. And so that's why we pray every day. First, I choose to fear God. Then we pray, God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Then we pray, Lord, help me to love you with all of my heart, will, mind, emotions, and strength. And then we end, Father, please fill and cover my will, mind, emotions with love, more love, joy, peace, long-suffering. The Bible says, he that doeth these things will never fall. Now, you might be afraid, God, what if I ask for wisdom? What if I ask for innovation and creativity? Sure, I will not fall. Let me not ask, oh, let me just stay as I am, so I'll not make the same mistake Solomon made. But there is a surety and a guarantee that if you do these things, according to 2 Peter 1, you will not fall. So it is possible that he, according to Jude, he can keep you from stumbling. He can keep you from falling. Why? Because you will continue to choose his fear. You will continue to pray for more love, more joy, more peace, more long-suffering, more gentleness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more meekness, more self-control. Solomon did not continue in the doctrine. He did not continue in these things. Like God had told them in the Old Testament, as kings, continue to read the law. Continue to write the law. Don't take too much. It will give you self-control. It will give you character. It will give you wisdom. It will help you to know how to channel the riches. It will know how to direct the creativity and the innovation. Where to direct it. It will help you to know how to have self-control, to control the lust. So as I'm praying for wisdom, I'm also praying, Lord, help me to use this wisdom and innovation to love you more, to love your creation, to love my brethren. Fill me more with more love, joy, peace. The Bible says, against such there is no law. The law of sin and death, the law of pride, the law of lust cannot conquer love, cannot conquer peace, cannot conquer the fruit of the Spirit. That's that for wisdom. And for mercy, say, Lord, make me a mercy addict. Mercy addict. Help me to learn honesty, sincerity, humility. Even when I don't feel, help me to grow in it. Help me to increase in it. Yes, I might have made some baby steps. Yes, help me to move forward. I might be having a recurrence in this area. Lord, help me to break from the habit. Help me to deliver me from dishonesty. Deliver me from pride. Help me to increase. Help me to improve. Help me to walk in honesty, in humility. More of it, more of it, more of it. I want more. I want more. I want more of humility, more wisdom, more honesty, more sincerity. help me to trust in your mercy. Help me to be a mercy addict. Because it will catapult me, oh Lord. Where I'm supposed to be, mercy will push me there. It will amplify it. Irrespective, it will amplify it. Make me a mercy addict. Help me to understand your mercy. Not to waste your mercy, but to understand your mercy. To be a mercy addict. To be an honesty addict. To be a humility addict. To be a character addict. And then when I ask for wisdom, I know it's not destroy me. It's not corrupt me. It's not be corrupted. Let's just stand up on our feet as we make your final prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for your mercies. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the word that has come on site, online, even amongst ourselves. How you've helped us to sharpen ourselves. Iron sharpeneth iron. To build ourselves up by your spirit. Thank for healings. Thank for honesty. Honest hearts. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit, because even as boys and girls, men and women have been honest, Lord, and have been humble, you grant us greater honesty, greater humility, greater mercy, greater grace, greater encouragement in this area, greater grace and more grace, grace for grace, the Bible says, to be more honest, more humble, to be humility addicts, honesty addicts, mercy addicts, Lord God, character addicts, love addicts, so that as we cry out for wisdom. And we know that you have preserved this wisdom. Your Bible, your word tells us wisdom, manifold wisdom beyond principalities and powers. You want to make a show to principalities and powers that have caused civilizations that have made men to wonder. Now you want to bring that wisdom and innovation through us. Lord, we pray that you will build in us character. Help us to have a passion for honesty, for humility, for character, for joy, peace, long-suffering, self-control, so that truly as you download wisdom to us bit by bit, morning by morning, day by day, Lord God, as we increase in this, Lord God, it's not destroy us, but we will use it for the glory of your name, to love you more, to love creation, to set creation free in the exalted name of Jesus. Thank you again for mercy, grace, and help as we move into a new month, Lord Holy Spirit, because you will do great and mighty things in us and through us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's just pray in the spirit. Thank you, Father Pazukto. Thank you, Lord Joseph Kedrelusko. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit, Alaska. Victory, Zakaria. Hey, help us, Masaria. Humility, Prakaya. Mercy, Padoria. Mercy, Zakaduria, Livralaska. Character, Zakaduria, Bajikta. Wisdom, Prakaya. Progress, Prakaria. Victory, Zakaria. Mighty God, Reke Padoria. Hey, Librakodia. To surrender to you, Rabataria. Opening our hearts unto you, my secret to the Libra. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.